Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, and I'm joined by faculty and staff and folks and great people from OLLI, the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. With us this afternoon, Dr. Mimi Gladstein, Dr. Natalia Savchenko, James Mortimer, and of course, Susan Sobin, the Director of Communication to OLLI. Welcome, folks, to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you. Let's first start with you, Susan. Let's talk a little bit about the spring semester at OLLI and talk about things. How do people get signed up and what to expect this time around?
Okay. This time we're proud to offer 72 classes. I think it's a record for us. We'll be starting classes on February 9th. Registration takes place from January 5th to January 29th. The best way to sign up is just give us a call. We're on campus at 747-6280 and 747-8848. You can pay by credit card. You can check out our courses starting on January 5th online, and our website is olli@utep.org. And if you'd like to come by the office in person, we're in Miners Hall, Suite 209, and we're staffed Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m.
Great. One of the classes for this spring semester is one called Dystopias in Text and Film. I hope I haven't murdered the title to that. Dr. Mimi Gladstein joins us. Dr. Gladstein, tell us a little bit about that class.
Well, this class in dystopias, I find the subject a very interesting one, and there have been some wonderful films made. For example, Blade Runner is a wonderful dystopian film about, you know, what would happen to the world if certain things, you know, progressed. And as a text, Ayn Rand's Anthem. And there's two kinds of dystopias. One is what would happen after a great nuclear holocaust, and then there's just, you know, few remnants of society left and everything is destroyed. What kind of societies would grow after that? And that's Anthem by Ayn Rand is one of those kinds of societies. And they're very afraid to venture forth. You know, there's places of what they call the Great Burning. And then you have other kinds of dystopias that sometimes come true. For example, 1984 tells of a society where Big Brother is watching you, and I believe we've gotten there in our culture. So I think we'll read a few texts, we'll see a few films, and talk about that interesting topic.
It's quite an interesting way to look at how life does progress. 1984, to be sure, when I read it in high school and then in a university setting, made me think about the possibilities. And all of a sudden, now you have NSA, you have the issues with social media, the whole nine yards. So I think that's really kind of an interesting sort of a thing. One of my favorite films is THX 1138.
Oh, absolutely. And then there's another one, wonderful one called Brazil, where, man's whole life is ruined because a fly falls on the printer. And I agree with you that, you know, not only NSA, but now I don't know why our politicians continue lying like they do. They're all on camera. You know, you can. And besides the fact that practically everything that happens in society is caught on one camera or another. Mm-hmm. So Big Brother is watching you.
Which leads me over to James Mortimer. Now, you're teaching Battleground Middle East, Jihad in Europe. And the reality of those issues already seem to have come to fruition, and even more so with the proliferation of social media.
Oh, yeah. That's certainly become a weapon for some in this world. That's amazing. This course that we hope to have in the spring will be a continuation of a series of lectures that we did just now in the fall. And this issue is something that seems to be of real importance to most Americans. And if it hasn't become important to them, it will soon, because it's not going to go away. And the issue, of course, is what I have to say as a a challenge to our civilization. I believe that there's a kind of a barbarianism that is at the gates, and we just have to open our newspapers or turn on the televisions to see outrageous acts of barbarism, and this is a real challenge for us as a liberal society with wide open doors, so to speak, and we have enemies that are determined to destroy this civilization and this liberal society in the name of their ideology. And of course, it's very, very tricky because it deals with theology and with God. We've dealt with ideologies. I'm speaking for liberal democracy. We've dealt with challenges from fascism and the Nazis and the communists, but we've never dealt with something as complicated as the Islamic jihad presents for us.
It's almost like peeling an onion. You have the skin, and then you go layer by layer by layer, and the deeper you go in, the more complex the problem seems to become.
It is. It is a terribly complex, and of course, to a great extent, it's at quite a distance from places like El Paso, Texas. And so Americans and El Pasoans and might feel that this is something that they could ignore. And it's distant, it's confusing, it's alien, and we have much more important things we have to do every day. But I'm finding actually that our community is responding. The rather substantial audience that attended my talks really encouraged me for the fact that they are actually quite open to dealing with very, very hard issues, willing to hear and debate and think about things that need to be thought about, actually, if we are going to, you know, face a challenge to the very roots of our tradition.
I think one of the things that also piques an interest, too, is the set of rumors that have been flying around ever since ISIS reared its ugly head, that ISIS could actually cross the border, that they could get in bed with a number of drug cartels across the border and whatnot. And because of an endless amount of deep pockets, shall we say, with the cartels, that could fuel a little bit of trepidation in our citizenry.
Yeah, actually, we may be more vulnerable. You know, we often think of El Paso as kind of like off the beaten track, but in some ways, we might be more vulnerable than we imagine.
Mm-hmm. And especially when you count in Fort Bliss, Holloman Air Force Base, and White Sands Missile Range as three strategic targets.
Absolutely.
Sure, I could see that. Now, Dr. Natalia Savchenko is teaching a course in speaking Russian, and of course now there's quite an interest in speaking Russian, especially amongst the new journalists that we're training here at UTEP, because they want to cover issues like what's happening across the bay, if you will, over in Russia and Ukraine and whatnot, the student uprisings that have happened over the last few months in Ukraine especially piques the interest of the students here in several different ways.
Yes, of course, because for speak about it, you need to know. It's like about Islamic movements, and I need to tell that United States is the country number 14 when I lived and work. So living with different people in different societies, I always learn something. And the most important thing which I know is the world is so small. And real borders, it's nothing for military forces, for radiation, for contaminated water or air. So it's our house, it's our home. And it's not, so Middle Orient, it's not so far. Mm-hmm. Last Sunday on Festival Street in Orthodox Church, our priest, I go to Orthodox Church and Festival, the priest, Father George, present us two families from Syria. They are official refugee families from Syria, and they found their home here in El Paso. 3 years ago, after the war in Libya, personally, I helped to three families from Libya whom federal government of United States, they sent them to live in El Paso, one of safety place here. So now it's their home too. And in the same time, here in El Paso, we have big community of people from Turkey, from Turkish people. They have beautiful cultural center, Raindrop, and the doors are open, and they show us very friendly face of people from Turkey. Mm-hmm. So the world is so small. And Russia and Ukraine has their representative in El Paso. At least I know more than 30 families here in El Paso, mixed families, Russians, Ukrainians, from Belarusia, from Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, ex-Soviet Union, and Armenia. Some of them, they are official refugees to whom federal government of United States in 90s offer place to live here in El Paso. And we are a small community of ex-Soviet citizens in El Paso. And now all what is happened in between Russia and Ukraine is hurt. Really, it's painful for us because we are the same blood. We are the same nation. And speaking about Russian language, Ukraine in Russian and in Ukraine, it means borderland. So it's like El Paso will go out of United States. So Ukraine and Russia is the same. We are Slavic nation. Our roots are common. Poland, people from Poland, from Bulgaria, from Ukraine, from Russia and Belarusia. We are the same ethnic group from the same old Slavic tribe. And even my second name is Ukrainian, Savchenko. All second name, last names, which finished on O letter, is Ukrainian. I was born in Novgorod the Great in Russia. My father and mother, they are from Volga River, from central Russia. But my last name is Ukraine. We are mixed. And nobody will win in this conflict. All will lost. It's my opinion. You just need to listen my friends who call. They call to their families to Ukraine, to Donetsk, to Slavyansk every night, and you can hear bombs and tanks in the streets every day. And it's not true that was tregua, one time of peace. It's not true. Every night they have bombs, and every day the blood runs on the streets. It's really hurt.
You're teaching a class in Russian. And on the positive side of speaking Russian, anyone who visits what I like to call the motherland will also be treated to friendly people, wonderful cuisine, and great history.
History and culture is the best. What, thanks of God, Russian people conserved and preserved, the same like government, because the greatest museums of Russia and famous Golden Ring around Moscow. Golden Ring is old cities with golden cupolas on churches, in old monasteries, and big libraries, beautiful palaces, obviously, all the people knows Hermitage in St. Petersburg and Kremlin in Moscow. It's real treasure of world culture, not only Russian national culture. So travel to Russia and speaking in Russian, you will enjoy double. Because including one joke, I asked one of my students, why do you want to speak Russian? She said, for save money. I said, how? Because, you know, in Russian museums and exhibitions, foreign people pay double. It's different cost for tickets. So she said, I only knew three words when I traveled first time to Russia. I could ask, два билета, пожалуйста. What mean two tickets, please, in Russian. So she, she said, the rest of the group pay more than I. So you can save money speaking Russian.
Absolutely true. And it's one of those languages that's so beautiful to hear. And quite frankly, for the cost of getting into OSHA Lifelong Learning Institute, not only can you partake in learning Russian, you can learn all about what's going on in the Middle East. You can tie it all in with dystopias in text and film. And I have to ask you, Dr. Gladstein, you're instrumental in putting together the Holocaust Museum here in El Paso. Yeah. It's a very important thing that we have here that it's more than a thing. This is to me, this is importance that needs to go from generation to generation to generation so that generations, future generations, don't repeat the past.
Well, of course, that's the mission of the museum, is to teach what horrible effects of intolerance, mm-hmm. what horrible effects of discrimination. And so it's, you know, it's our mission. The young students that come through there, we hope, are getting that lesson, because mm-hmm. that's the thing, you know. And we point out, too, that it wasn't just the Jews that were murdered in the Holocaust. There were also, 5 million is not a small number. 5 million gypsies, 5 million homosexuals. I mean, they were part of the 5 million.
Mm-hmm.
The Seventh-day Adventists, you know, in fact, many communists, because they were opposed to the Nazis. So, I mean, the numbers are horrifying. You can't even begin to imagine. But the point there is we've got the young people have to understand, you know, what are the results of that kind of hatred and discrimination.
And that brings me back to you, Susan. The importance of the OSHA Lifelong Learning Institute not only brings to the table these social issues, but there's also hope that our baby boomers who are members of OLLI can take this back and teach kids and the grandkids how to be more tolerant, how to be more of a community-based sort of a thing. You know, and we're not talking also about how serious the topics are that we've spoken about so far, but there are so many things that you're offering with 72 different courses. You bring that back into the family, and my goodness gracious, all of a sudden you have a community.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Yeah, our student base is age 50 and over. They bring a lot of education and a lot of experience to our classes. So they are perfect ambassadors for the things that we teach.
Let's go over some of the classes that are being offered as well in humanities, current issues, and some of the fun things that are out there as well.
Okay. I did want to mention that you're working with us again this term.
Yes, I am.
Teaching the American Songbook.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing that again. That was fun the last time. This will be, I think, even more fun this time around because I'm digging up and finding more stuff.
Great. So I'll read our major fields. Hands-on arts and crafts, which will include, of course, drawing and painting. We'll also have woodworking, photography, and flower design. Body, mind, and spirit, yoga, tai chi, current issues, which will include China, our National Issues Forum, which will discuss social security and immigration, also financial investments. We'll have history, including the Civil War. We'll have humanities with literature and film. languages, literature, music. In addition to the American Songbook, we're starting a choir.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We have a section on religious beliefs, and we're covering Hinduism, discovering Islam, and Buddhism. Under sciences, we'll be offering alternative medicine. And as always, writing your memoirs under our writing section.
Mm-hmm. What piques my interest is the class on ABCs of wine tasting.
Now, my husband and I took line dancing one time, and that was fun.
Oh, nice.
And we're offering that one again.
So as we go through the courses and as we talk about what Ollie does for our community and whatnot, it also grows into the nation, too. Ollie is part of a chain of institutes that interact with one another.
That's true. Mm-hmm. It's a nationwide system.
When we get the chance to be able to maybe go to a conference, would we be able to maybe go to a conference and meet with other members of OSHER?
As far as I know, we send two representatives every year.
Okay.
So it would just be a matter of contacting our executive director, Ian Wilson, to find out about the formalities.
So let's go over again for those who are just barely tuning in. By the way, if you just barely tuned in, we're talking to faculty members and staff from the OSHER Lifelong Learning Institute, or OLLI. And around the table here is James Mortimer, Dr. Natalia Savchenko, Susan Sobins, the Director of Communication, and Dr. Mimi Gladstein, who's written a number of books and is also very, very instrumental in putting together the Holocaust Museum here in El Paso. So with this high-powered faculty that I have here, it just strikes me that our listeners want to now get involved in becoming members and then signing up for classes. How early can they do this?
January 5th, registration starts and runs through January 29th. As I said, our classes will be posted online starting on January 5th.
Okay.
Easiest way to enroll is just give us a call. We're staffed Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. Our office is on campus, and we're at 747-6280 and 747-8848.
People will ask, is parking an issue?
Oh, I'm so glad you added that. You asked that. Yes, parking is free. You get a permit for the Sun Bowl Garage, which is very near our building, Miners Hall.
Right. Very nice. See how easy it is? Yes, ma'am.
I want to add something, too, and that is that learning and working the mind is very healthy and beneficial for people in our age category. Mm-hmm. So there's a medicinal benefit from taking an OLLI class.
And several, to be quite honest with you. You're right. You're absolutely right. If you don't work your brain every day, which is, you know, the whole basis to these pay online things like Lumosity and all that, just interact with people here on campus. It's a lot easier, a lot friendlier.
It is.
I was just going to say, my group that I have gotten to know over the 12 lectures that we gave in the series, just really interesting and very alert and very intellectually active people. If you were out there somewhere and felt a bit isolated, why don't you become a member and join one of our courses? Because you'll run into the most interesting people, most willing to explore new topics or follow through at a deeper level, something they're interested in. Just to fascinate, I've met so many of the community that I had no idea, you know, some retired doctors, some of them retired teachers, lawyers, all sorts of people right across the spectrum, and all of them very active and very interesting.
I even had a retired general in one of my classes.
Oh, my goodness.
It was hard for me to boss him around. Was it hard or did I like it?
Yeah, if you remember, Susan, we had one student too. When I asked, why do you want to speak Russian, or if you know something about Russian, one of my students said to me, yes, during the Second World War, I was listening to Russian soldiers, so in 50s I graduate in Monterey Military Academy in Russia, and now I want to refresh my knowledge. And he was wonderful.
One of the things that I'd like to do is take that Russian course, because my main interest is in music, and in Ukraine is probably one of the most beloved jazz orchestras, the Oleg Lundstrom Orchestra.
Oh, yes. You will enjoy it.
Yeah. An incredible. You really have to listen to the music in order to really understand why I'm so piqued with interest with Oleg Lundstrom. 50, 60 years that this man ran this, and I have to tell you, under the Soviet regime, where music like that wasn't supposed to be played, he was allowed.
Of course, because it's real art.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody can against it. Mm-hmm. It is real art.
Now, let's bring this back to another local level. Four of our musicians in El Paso went to Ukraine to go play at one of the more fabled halls. As a matter of fact, it was at that hall where, after they were done with the performance, when they loaded back onto the bus, is when they started seeing the student uprising and didn't know it. There was the first student uprising that had ever started for this current term. And so they brought back a lot of photos, a lot of stories, and the bus driver told them as much as he could in English. But they wished that they had taken the Russian course.
Well, I hope I will have big group. And the best way to know new culture and new language is through the music, because you have two ways for remember. Mm-hmm. Not only verb, mm-hmm. not only words, but melody too. Mm-hmm. And it's stimulating for remember, mm-hmm. for activate your memory. Through the music, it's more easy.
And, of course, the soundtracks in the films that you're teaching, Dr. Gladstein, the soundtracks are exquisite as well.
Another soundtrack that I love from a dystopia is from 2001, Space Odyssey. Mm-hmm. That has a wonderful soundtrack.
So there you go. What we've done is we've given you a capsulized version of what you'll find with the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute here at UTEP. And all you have to do is wait until January 5th. Everything will be up online at that point. And Susan, the phone number again?
We're on campus, 747-6280 or 747-8848.
And I'm sure you'll have some people who will want to visit the office.
Mm-hmm. We're at Miners Hall, Suite 209, and we're staffed Monday through Fridays, 1 to 4 p.m.
Dr. Gladstein, Dr. Savchenko, Jim, Susan, thank you so much for coming in for this edition of El Paso Primetime. Go out and learn.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you. Time to thank Bridget McAllister for editing the show and for Deidre Westenhauser for recording the show. And thank you, the listener, for checking in with this edition of El Paso Primetime. Have a great weekend. We'll be right back.